Next on BYUSN, with the Cougars being a 10-point underdog against Texas Tech, where do the Cougars hold the advantage over the Red Raiders? Radio analyst Hans Olsen joins the program to preview the top 10 matchup. What does he believe is BYU's path to pulling off the upset in Lubbock?
BYU defensive tackle Keanu Tanabasa and offensive lineman Waylon Lapuaho detail how BYU used the bye week to prepare for the Red Raiders. And BYU women's soccer wins again in the Big 12 tournament. Ellie Walbrook joins us to preview the Big 12 championship game against the Jayhawks.
That team is on fire! Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store. This is for BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, November 6th. I am Jerem Jordan. He is water bottle locker coordinator Jason Shepard.
You know, I always do feel a little bad for, you know, the locker room celebrations with the, luckily it's just water.
Yeah.
But I always feel bad for the people that have to go in and clean that up after the fact. But hey.
Yeah, it just dries.
Last night, pretty cool moment for BYU women's basketball. Lee Kamard got the win in exhibition, but this, the exhibition game, but first win as head coach of BYU women's basketball, a dominating win over Coastal Carolina. And this was the celebration in the BYU locker room after.
How many bottles did he have in his hand? Three or four?
That looked that was, like
he was
four.
Prepared.
Yeah, he was ready. He was ready.
Seasoned veteran.
Somebody brought up, though, and I may need to ask Lee, he didn't go with the Roy Williams celebration going
into
the locker
room. I thought
he'd
walk in all excited and sneak his way in and shimmy there.
It was a really cool night for him. And on postgame when I talked to him, he did say, I'm kind of glad it's over, just to kind of get it out of the way. And now you got the one win, the celebration, and now let's just go on and win more basketball games.
A fun game. You talk about possessions. 91 points. And BYU turned it over 25 times. I mean, that was a fun game to watch. It was crazy.
91 points. It's the first time since the end of January of 2022 that BYU scored 90-plus points.
It's been many moons.
Yeah.
Many moons. Hopefully there are more 90-plus point games.
Amen.
Let's go. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending. They're the best team BYU will play until a college football playoff game if they get there. Defense for Texas Tech. They are legit.
I think that their biggest advantage against Texas Tech is using the talented wide receivers. I feel like there will be opportunities for BYU in that facet of the game.
You better believe it. We're just 2 days away from the first top 10 matchup in the history of Cougar football. Number 7 BYU, number 8 Texas Tech. You've heard it all week. Let's go. Despite BYU's 8-0 record and the higher ranking, the Cougars still a 10-point dog against the Red Raiders. So, all this talk about Texas Tech. Where does BYU have an advantage or advantages in the matchup, Jason?
Yeah, I've been trying to think of the right phrasing for this. The first that comes to mind is battle-tested.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if that's accurate. And especially when you look this far into the season, when you look at where both teams stand in the college football playoffs, both of these teams are battle-tested. But the way that I mean it for BYU is the type of games that they have played.
Yes.
I feel like they've been put in different situations that have allowed them to overcome more. And to be able to have the, regardless of the situation, whether you're down by a touchdown or down by double digits, which BYU has done, on the road nonetheless, to be able to find a way to make the adjustments to come back and take control of the game. That breeds confidence throughout a roster that regardless of the situation, we're not going to panic. We're going to stick to what we're trying to do. And if we need to, the coaching staff will make the necessary adjustments and they'll put us in a better situation to try and change some of the things that weren't working. I think that's a big aspect of this BYU team all season long. They've had some adversity. Things weren't going their way, had some turnovers. They're on the road. They're down by double digits at Colorado. But going to halftime, the coaches make the adjustments. They come out, and then they take control in the second half. We've seen that time and time again. We saw it most recently against Iowa State. So to me, I think that is one of the biggest advantages that BYU has is regardless of how the game starts, this team is not going to panic. They're not going to freak out like, oh, my gosh, how is this happening to us? If this is an insurmountable situation for us to overcome. They're just not going to do that. I think that's a big mental edge that BYU has.
And that's good because, yeah, if you trail at Texas Tech, which is likely at some point in the game, come on. How are you feeling about it? The counter to that would be, well, Tech hasn't played close games because they're blowing out people.
Yep.
They didn't trail for the first six games, Chip.
Yep, I get it.
They've lost one game at Arizona State when Sam Leavitt was healthier. He's out for the season now. 26-22. Will Hammond was playing. Baron Morton was not. And, Texas Tech has given up more than 21 points in one game this year. They lost it. So can BYU, as an underdog, as you see the graphic, they've been really good. Last eight games as a underdog, 7-1. Not against the spread, straight up, which is a crazy thing. BYU, I don't think they can afford to play the type of game they have come back in against Iowa State, against Arizona, against Colorado, trailing against Utah. That one was like one score.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Fine. That could happen. But those other three, I don't think that's going to work against Texas Tech. They're too good.
This is
the number one rated defense in PFF in the country. They're incredible.
I agree with exactly what you said, that this team hasn't had to go. Speaking of Texas Tech, they've just been blowing teams out, so they haven't had to go through that. But my counter
because they're good.
My counter to that is if BYU can come out and gain an advantage early, they come out and score.
Front run.
And then get up by 10, 14 points. Put a little doubt in Texas Tech's mind. They're in a situation that they haven't been in very much this year. And so do they then begin to panic, start to force a couple of things?
Yeah, Baron Morton hasn't. He wasn't the one in the Arizona State game. He's probably going, I'm not the one that lost that game. Like, I'm here. So I'm interested to see this. Okay, advantages I'm seeing. Red zone defense. BYU is sixth in the country. You can thank Utah for all those non-field goal fourth downs where BYU stopped them. Texas Tech 57. So BYU buckles down in the red zone. That's an advantage. BYU has a better run game with LJ Martin. Good duo of running backs with Texas Tech. 18 more yards for the Cougars. Because of that, time of possession average, more than 3 minutes more per game. Can BYU control the clock with a good run game? But remember, Texas Tech number one in the country in rush yards allowed per game at 75. Third and fourth down defensive success, BYU is the 11th in the country. They do a nice job of buckling down. Texas Tech 27th on offense. Good, but not as good as 11th. BYU 16 spots higher in offensive EPA, expected points added. That's a big metric that a lot of teams like. BYU's 13th, and Texas Tech's offense 29th. And then net punting, BYU's way better, 52 spots ahead. So there are spots where BYU is better. But BYU should take confidence to, we have figured out, as you mentioned, how to win in different ways. But that certain equation of trailing, I don't think is going to work in this situation.
Yeah, you don't want to constantly have to come back.
Yes, I think
it's good if you can do it.
Yeah,
you don't want to put yourself in that position.
They certainly can, but there are NFL dudes littered on the other side there.
Right.
It's different than when you're playing Colorado or Arizona who have singular NFL guys around. Maybe a couple, but Texas Tech is legit. They have three of the highest rated eight individuals on defense in the country. That's crazy.
Yeah.
David Bailey leads the nation in sacks. Romello Height. And Jacob Rodriguez is the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year right now. We'll talk to Hans Olsen coming up and see his opinion on that too. But they punched the ball out last week against K-State. K-State was going blow for blow with Texas Tech. And then they turned it over five times.
Yeah.
K-State was out scheming Tech on the first couple of drives. They had some explosives. Avery Johnson in the run game. C-Bear Bachmeyer perhaps taking advantage of some of those situations. They were blitzing corners where there was no one on that side. They decided to stay back because K-State was running at the blitz. BYU's got to bring a great game to win it, but they can totally do it because they should have confidence that they can do it a bunch of different ways.
Yeah.
I know there's been conversation about BYU hasn't had to abandon the run game, I think Josh Pate said. Did you watch the Iowa State second
game.
Half? Yeah. I mean, BYU literally at halftime said, okay, we got to throw the ball. And they threw for 307. That was incredible. There are advantages. BYU's got to take and seize them in that moment because Tech is stinking good.
Okay, if BYU is going to win this game on Saturday, do you believe it's going to be the offense or the defense that needs to have impact?
Offense, they got to score. Because I think defensively, BYU can go toe-to-toe with the Texas Tech defense. But can BYU's offense go up against one of the best defenses in the nation?
Yeah.
I mean, PFF's number one, as I mentioned. Tech's allowed more than 21 once. That's it. They lost that game. Can BYU get into the mid to high 20s? Other numbers that stick out for Tech, fourth in defensive success rate, third in drop back success rate, fourth in rush success rate defensively. 7th in pass yards per attempt. So they are not letting teams get explosive on them. Yet, here comes JoJo Phillips to add to the cadre of BYU receivers. Carson Ryan's been a little quiet the last couple weeks. I'd love to see him involved. But the top receiving duo in the Big 12 comes from Provo. It's Chase Roberts and Parker Kingston. Kingston's on a heater. Roberts is the most consistent thing about BYU. His super Y thing is a movement. It's happening all over the place, which is really fun. BYU's offense has to go toe-to-toe and out-scheme, out-advantage, out-leverage Texas Tech in this game because they've got an incredible defense.
Yeah, you and I are on the same side of this. It's the offense. And look, on the defensive side, how many times have we seen, and I think the perfect example of this was Iowa State, where Iowa State came out, obviously hit on that very first play. They started moving the ball, and you're thinking, okay, this is just one of those games. It's finally caught up to the BYU defense. This is just one of those, and yet at half, and then towards the end of the half, and then in the entire second half, they made the adjustments, and they put the clamp down on Iowa State's offense. I am just super bullish on what this defense can do, and I think they will be up to the task. Now, I think the offense will be up to the task as well, but I think more falls on their shoulders to make sure that that side of the ball is productive. And I think it can come in a myriad of ways, but because of how stingy the defense is for Texas Tech on the ground, if BYU can somehow find a way to be a consistent ground game producing offense, I think that can go a long way because then it sets up the play action for Bear. And not only that, yep, but with the play action and Bear's ability to run, it just opens up everything for Aaron Roderick and that playbook for that side of the football. So for me, if the offense, and I love what you said, they can score in the mid to high 20s.
Give me 24.
Give me 27. That sets things up very, very nicely for BYU.
Turnover margin is pretty interesting for these two teams as well because 20 takeaways is an incredible number for Texas Tech. That is second in the country. Margin, BYU actually has a better margin. BYU's plus 10, that's fourth in the country. Texas Tech plus 8, they've turned it over a little more on offense. BYU doesn't turn it over on
offense. Well, and since that two-game stretch where BYU had some of the turnover issues, they have cleaned that up significantly. That will play a huge role,
yes,
in making sure that type of play continues.
And that's why BYU is 8-0. BYU very well could be 6-2, 5-3, and still be on or ahead of schedule with the true freshman quarterback. They're 8-0 because they take care of the football.
Yeah.
And against Texas Tech, if BYU goes -2, I don't know that they're going to win the game. If they go +2, now we're talking, right? This BYU defense needs to be good. And obviously +2, you win a lot of games no matter who you play. But when you're on the road against top 10 team, BYU is a top 10 team, got to take care of that football. It's part of BYU's winning formula this year. Our question of the day is this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that BYU can pull off the upset? It's funny we're saying that as the higher-ranked team, but that's, you know, plus 10 for BYU here. In Lubbock over Texas Tech, Shane W. on Twitter, a serious 6-7. Oh, okay.
Do it. Do it.
No.
Do it.
2 weeks to prepare. Comes down to turnovers. So 6-7. Nice. KC Cougar Dad. 5. Depends on what we get from our banged-up starts. LJ, Glasgow, Kelly, if we're close to full strength, my number jumps to 8. That is a big question is, okay, they're playing, but how effective will they be? I've been arguing this week, I don't know if BYU can win if LJ is not effective. LJ has to be effective. Otherwise, it gets a little too pin your ears back for Bailey, Height, Rodriguez, punching the ball out. Trying to get past BYU's tackles, that matchup will be fun too. I can't wait to talk to Hance, by the way, about the trenches.
Yeah.
This is a trench game, and Hance is going to break it down. That'll be fun.
Well, and that's why this bye could not have come at a better time with the injuries.
And everyone says that, but literally,
for
the
not,
health
yes.
into the biggest game of
yes.
maybe the modern era
yes,
or ever of BYU football, I mean, crazy. At Rowdy in the Rock, 7.67. Okay.
Do it.
All right. You can see it on the screen. I'll read it for the radio audience. I think it's a one-score game either way. Over the past 2 years, BYU has shown they can hang with anybody, pull out the win late in the game. I mentioned this yesterday, Shep. BYU's lost its last four losses going back to the end of 23 by a combined 23 points. If BYU loses, it's a game, and we fully expect that. Because if BYU does not win this game, but it's competitive, it's mm-hmm. tight, mm-hmm. it's not the worst thing in the world. Obviously, you need to win the next three to get to Arlington.
Yep.
Otherwise, you're in tiebreakers. But from a we're in the playoff mix still perspective, that's where you want to be. Obviously, win the game, though.
Yep.
Just win the game.
You've got an opportunity to set yourself up nicely.
If this team is different than last year, they've got to win in Lubbock or Cincinnati. They don't need both, but they need one of those.
Yep.
And they have to win the other.
Three wins put you in Arlington.
Yes. Because if BYU does not get to Arlington, the narrative is, well, they did the same thing as last year. And granted, we are ahead of schedule here with BYU. They're not supposed to be 8-0. They're not. They should have lost one of those games. They should have lost two or three of them. It's been awesome, but now we're getting greedy. Number 7, don't want last year. Let's go. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right, speaking of winning, BYU women's soccer just keeps winning, beating 5-seed and 23rd-ranked Baylor 4-0.
Keep it going.
In the second round of the Big 12 tournament in Fort Worth. Do you believe that win guaranteed BYU will be hosting a first-round NCAA tournament match?
No. I thought the TCU win did.
Ah.
See what I did there?
Okay. All right.
I think that win did, and then this is all gravy. BYU is not going to be a top 16 team to where they host second and third round. Mm-hmm. Kind of in the 30s in RPI, right? I haven't looked at the updated kind of this week thing. But BYU's on a heater. They're getting hot at the right time. You hope you carry this momentum through Saturday's game, win a Big 12 title, and then play a first-round game at home, and then keep it going into what you hope is a Sweet 16. This team has been super banged up. They've found the back of the net in a way they had in the last couple of weeks and months. It's fun to see them peak at the right time. And there's not a situation where Jen Rockwood's been like, I haven't been there.
Yes. It's back to what we were talking about with BYU football.
Yes.
She has seen it all.
Yes.
You're
and
not
shout
gonna...
out Walbrook for scoring goals. Shout out Chelsea Peterson, if you missed it. BYU's goalie in the Utah game, which they had to win to make the Big 12 tournament, by the way. Tore ACL, broke her fibula. It was gnarly. Chelsea Peterson has come in as the backup who barely played. And she has been on fire this week, winning a penalty shot.
Yeah, this is a perfect example when people say just put yourself in a position to be in the tournament, whatever tournament we're talking about, and then see what happens.
Yep.
With the way this program historically has handled itself in these situations, just giving themselves a chance, that's all they asked for. Because they knew once they got there, they had the ability to get on a run, and we're seeing that right now.
It's been fun to see. Like, if you're going to get on a heater, it's way better right now than it is in the middle of October or September or even August. BYU has discovered that, and they are playing great. They're taking on Kansas coming up Saturday night, 8 Eastern on ESPN+. And by the way, we will talk to Ellie Walbrook coming up in the program about this run they are making.
Yeah, it is a big, big Saturday. Lots going on for BYU. 7th-ranked Cougars taking on 8th-ranked Texas Tech. Here's your broadcast schedule. BYU Sports Nation Game Day, 10 a.m. Eastern on BYU TV. Cougar Pregame Live, 10 a.m. Eastern on BYU Radio. Then it's The Kick on ABC and on BYU Radio at 12 Eastern Time. You can just finish your breakfast and then turn on the game. Postgame coverage immediately after the game on both BYU TV and BYU Radio. We've got you covered from start to finish.
Busy day with women's hoops, men's hoops at home as well. Let's go. Coming up, Hans Olsen on how BYU takes down Texas Tech Saturday in Lubbock. This is BYU Sports Nation.
LJ Martin has been very special. You cannot put a price tag on that for a true freshman quarterback.
You could argue it's the biggest game in BYU football history, Saturday.
I want them to just live it up and embrace every opportunity they have coming to them this weekend.
This could be just enough offense to get you to that Big 12 championship game that you've been looking for.
That is the goal, and BYU, for the first time, as we've mentioned in program history, about to play a top 10 matchup in Lubbock. Well, welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jeremy Jordan alongside Jason Shepherd. Hans Olsen will be on the call on BYU Radio for this one. Hans, welcome to the show. Cannot wait for this matchup. We knew early in the season, hey, Tech's going to be good. We didn't know BYU would be this good, but here we go, baby. This is one of the biggest games in program history.
Hey, first, I wanted to tell you guys, I prepared a song. Let me get my guitar.
okay, Bear.
I just wrote this little ditty just for this hit this morning. No, I didn't. I didn't.
I was Shep, really hoping you had a guitar.
I actually wrote a song, don't you, Shep?
No, I wanted you to sing. I would beg you to sing.
Yeah.
If I'm going to sing, I'm going to do Lame as a Rob. I'll do a little, who is this man? Who could he be to have me caught in a trap and choose to let me go free? I'll do something from Lame as a Rob.
And that will
remember,
be on
man,
social
I'm a
media.
Person.
Little 24601 later. I like that.
Oh,
I like
yeah.
that.
Oh,
Let's
yeah.
go.
Guys, it's great to be with you, man. This is a big week.
Hey, Royal
this
out.
This is a huge week.
Way to get the memo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Royal. It's going to be royal in the booth. It's going to be royal all through the week. And you just hope that BYU has put their best parts together through their bye week and they show the best side of their football team.
So we talked about this being the first top 10 matchup in BYU history. I mean, all we know all of the things that make this the game that it is. It's such a massive game. What has you most excited about the matchup itself?
The most excited about the matchup comes down to Andrew Gentry, Isaiah Jada versus David Bailey. That's the matchup. Like, you've got a fantastic offensive tackle, two defensive ends. They're great at pass rush. They're number one in the country in sacks off the edge by David Bailey. And it is going to come down to great pass sets, great run blocking, because Bailey's good in the run stop as well. This is the number one run stop defense in the country. They're holding teams under 80 yards rushing. So this is a really good defensive line. There is no other matchup, in my opinion. This is all about TJ Woods guys versus this Texas Tech defensive front. And you got to make sure that you shut them down, because these guys will eat you up and they will spit you out. So I cannot wait to highlight this one. And then the other one is Rodriguez, the linebacker. Jacob Rodriguez is an amazing linebacker. Again, this goes back to BYU's offensive line. So I want to be real specific with this. You have to work off your combo blocks, and you have to get a hand on Jacob Rodriguez to slow him down, because he is the punch-out king. He is the strip force fumble king. 7 this year. He forces turnovers. So offensive line, backside combos. If you're trying to work up to the linebacker, even if I just get a paw on him to slow him down just a touch so he can't get that clean shot on LJ Martin while he's holding that ball, or that clean shot on anybody else that might be carrying the ball, Preston Rex, Javessa, or of course Enoch Nalihine. So just get a hand on him. It's that offensive front, boys. Get ready. It's going to be an offensive line battle, and I'm going to be highlighting it all game long during the broadcast. I'm going to be pointing out Bruce Mitchell. I'm going to be talking about Leusa. I'm going to be talking about that offensive front and how they're picking up these amazing blocks with these great defenders.
You know who recruited Jacob Rodriguez to play tight end at Virginia, right? One Bronco Mendenhall. Then he then he transfers to Texas Tech, and he punches the ball out at a rate unknown to man. He's got 12 career force fumbles, 7 this year. Wife is a helicopter pilot in the Army. That's a tough couple right there. Let's talk about LJ Martin. He's coming back from a shoulder issue where he left the first quarter against Iowa State bye week. Great timing. He is playing. Can BYU win if he is not effective in the run game?
No. Nope. If these guys force you into one dimension, then they got you. And that's what they've done so well all year long. So you've got to be able to get a few yards on him. And I'm kind of putting that yards, I'm establishing it about 160, because I just don't want the pressure on Bear Bachmeier. Now, what was incredible against Iowa State, LJ Martin goes out, Bear Bachmeier continues to do his thing, and he was incredible through the air, going over 300 yards against Iowa State. I would hope that he could do it against Texas Tech in case LJ Martin can't give you 85, 95 yards, but I really need this run game to click and clock. It doesn't just have to be LJ Martin. There are a couple of runners back there that have the potential. They just have to put their head down, go through arm tackles, and get the yards that LJ is getting. LJ is phenomenal. I mean, against Arizona, just some of the yards that he was able to pick up were spectacular. And he has been so good. I think he's the 12th or 13th rusher in the country at 98 yards a game. So let's just say he gives you 80. I'm fine with 80. Bear can go give me 35, 40. Now we're creeping up on that 150 mark, 160 mark. And then you just get a couple of yards from a Parker Kingston end around, or you get a couple of yards from a Cody Hagan fly sweep, or you get some yards there, and you're at that 160 mark. I need 160, boys.
I think what you talked about with Bear, though, I think is really important, because whether you don't have an actual running back that that puts up big yards, the defense still has to be aware of what Bear Bachmeier can do on the ground. Hopefully that's something that can keep them honest. I think that could play a big role on just how much Bear runs, and if he does, how effective he can be.
That's so important, and it's critical. But it's also critical that the running backs give you that look, too, to keep them honest so that you really have to split this defense. But to your point, Shep, you have to assign a defensive end. You've got to assign an outside linebacker. And a lot of times you've got to assign a nickel or a safety to make sure that they close that outlet that is Bear Bachmeier. And that's really tough to do. When you do that, it widens the defensive end. It'll widen David Bailey, or it'll widen Romello Height. They'll have to split out just a little bit to make sure that Bear doesn't keep it and cut off that seam. The important thing is at that mesh point that I've got a give opportunity that can go get me 4 or 5 yards. If I don't have that give opportunity to get me the 4 or 5 yards, then I can widen, I can assign an outside linebacker, and I can have a safety at a shallow distance, and I can make sure I've got 3 guys that hit and attack and beat up Bear Bachmeier. But if I've got a running threat, a dive threat, or a give threat off the mesh, then my defensive end has to collapse just a little bit. He's got to force way down before he stays wide to make sure that that quarterback is giving. And the nickel, maybe he's got some type of responsibility up top, but he kind of has to creep in and make sure that that ball is kept, because if it's given, if you don't have that support, then you've got an easier 4 or 5 yards right up the lane. So it's really important that both are working and clicking to make sure that that mesh point and that zone read is as effective as it has been.
Talking to Hans Olsen of KSL Sports Zone here on BYU Sports Nation, which side of the football will affect BYU the most in trying to pull off this upset since they're a 10-point dog?
In positive, or you're talking about Texas Tech? You're talking about which side
from
do I feel
BYU.
Is going to... It'll be the defense. It'll be the defense. You know, I think that this has to be a 28-24 type game. I don't want to see this creep up into the 30s. You know, I want to see this be a 28-24 type game. And, you know, I was looking at the Arizona State game. That game was 26-22. And Arizona State was able to force Texas Tech into some offensive looks that they didn't want. They were able to get in the backfield, pick up some tackles for a loss. They were very aggressive. And Arizona State did it the way I want to see BYU do it. Now, Arizona State's offense was forced to pass. Sam Levitt had over 300 yards, and they didn't really get the ground game clicking. I would like to see BYU be a little bit more balanced offensively. But this will come down to the defense, you guys. And, you know, I'm talking about holding Texas Tech anywhere from 24 to 27 points, because I kind of feel like 28 points is that area that I believe BYU could get to.
Hans, where does BYU have the advantage?
You know, that's a good question. I think that they've got the advantage in-game adjustments with Jay Hill and Aaron Roderick. I've seen some incredible adjustments, and that's why we've seen so many comebacks, 14-point comeback, a 10-point comeback. We've seen great comebacks. So I think in-game adjustments, they have a really good advantage. I would say linebackers as a group, but not as a single linebacker. I think Jacob Rodriguez is your defensive player of the year so far in the Big 12. And I would say linebackers as a group. Now, that's given that Glasker, Isera, and Kelly are all healthy, which, you know, a couple weeks now, a lot of training room, a lot of stem and ice. I'm hoping that they're at least 85, 90%. That's my hope. But as a whole, I think they're a better group. Getting Raider DeMooney back, I think probably a better safety room. Even though I do believe Texas Tech has one of the best corners in the Big 12. Those are just a couple of areas. You know, I was looking at their offensive tackles, you guys. So you've got a freshman offensive tackle that's 6'8", 305 pounds off the right side. You've got a junior tackle that's 6'8", 340 pounds covering the blind side. It is a massive offensive front. These guys are gigantic. And I'm excited to see how they play against this BYU defensive front.
If you're 6'8", you can play tackle in this game. That's what we've decided with everybody.
Man,
it's going to be,
you can play tackle in this game for sure.
It's going to be fun. Big-time matchup. Hans, we appreciate the X and O's breakdown, and we look forward to listening to your call on BYU Radio. Pre-game bright and early at 10 a.m. Eastern. Make sure you go to bed early Friday night, man.
Cannot wait. I got the hair standing up on the back of my neck. I've got goosebumps. I'm going to have to contain myself so I'm not smacking people in the booth. Shep, you've seen me get a little bit too excited. I am just overboard excited about this one. And, guys, I feel like BYU has a really good chance with the bye week, the adjustments, guys coming back healthy, getting the extra rest, and this coaching staff. I think anything's possible.
Go call a win, Hans.
I love it. Thanks, Hans. We appreciate it, man.
There we go.
He's the great, fired up.
The great Hans Olsen.
Let's go. He might play in the game.
Hey.
We could use that.
Yeah, whatever you can
do. Got a COVID redshirt medical.
Let's go. Let's go. All right, the home opener for AJ DeBonsa and number 8 BYU men's basketball is coming up Saturday against Holy Cross. Coverage begins at 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus and on BYU Radio.
Old Bob Cousy and the Holy Cross Crusaders. Coming up in headlines, the latest from the injury report for the Texas Tech game. Plus, we'll visit with Ellie Walbrook about last night's big win over Baylor. Look ahead to Saturday's Big 12 Women's Soccer Championship game. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Sports Nation is Studio B. I am Jerem. He is Jason. Let's get to today's headlines, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Number 7 BYU football prepares for Saturday's game at number 8 Texas Tech for the first top 10 matchup in program history. The initial availability report for Saturday is out. Here's how it looks. LJ Martin, JoJo Phillips, Raider DeMooney, all listed as probable. Tommy Prassis is doubtful, and 3 players listed as out. Sione Moa, Anisi Purcell, and Marcus McKenzie. Don't forget, pregame coverage for Saturday's matchup begins at 10 a.m. Eastern time on both BYU TV and on BYU Radio.
Moa's still out for a while, but the fact that he's still on the list means they think he might be able to come back at some point.
Yeah.
If he was out for the year, he wouldn't be on the
Fingers
list at
crossed.
All. BYU quarterback Bear Bachmeyer was named a semifinalist for the Sean Alexander Freshman of the Year Award. What is the most outstanding freshman in college football? Bachmeyer has over 2,000 yards of total offense to go with 20 total touchdowns while leading BYU to an 8-0 start.
BYU safety Tanner Wall was named a nominee for the 2025 Burlsworth Trophy, which is awarded to the most outstanding player in college football who began their career as a walk-on. Wall currently second on the team in tackles with 38 and interceptions with 2.
AJ DeBonsa, Richie Saunders named to the Oscar Robertson Award preseason watch list, given to the best player in college basketball. DeBonsa and Saunders combined for 36 in BYU's win over Villanova. Up next, BYU hosts Holy Cross Saturday in the home opener.
8-seed BYU women's soccer beat 5-seed Baylor 4-0 to advance to the Big 12 championship game.
Yeah.
Ellie Walbrook had her second straight brace, becoming the first player with back-to-back braces in the Big 12 tournament since back in 1996.
That was the first year of the Big 12.
It's a long time ago. Madden Summers Oviatt and Ella Labrum each added a goal as well. BYU now plays 7-seed Kansas in the Big 12 championship game coming up on Saturday.
Big time run for the ladies. Women's basketball won its season opener, beating Coastal Carolina 91-57 last night at the Marriott Center. First win for head coach Lee Kamard. Brindley Cannon led all scores with 16 points. Lotta Rokel, 13 points, 10 boards. How about freshman Sydney Benali, 11 assists. Up next, BYU hosts San Jose State on Saturday.
Number 21, women's volleyball lost in 4 sets to Arizona last night in Tucson. Sulie Davis and Claire Little Chambers each posted double-doubles in the loss. Up next, BYU heads north from Tucson to Tempe to face number 8 Arizona State on Friday.
The men's volleyball schedule is announced as of this morning. They open the season January 9th against St. Francis in Provo. Other notable matchups, UC Irvine in Provo January 23rd and 24th. and the Cougars end the regular season against the back-to-back defending national champion UCLA Bruins April 16th and 18th. By the way, the MPSF tournament is in Provo this year, April 21st through the 25th.
And BYU Athletics announced that they will induct 7 former Cougars into the BYU Athletic Hall of Fame on Friday, November 14th. The inductees are Alexa Gray from women's volleyball, Tyler Haas from men's basketball, Michelle Stewart-Mackey from women's track, Trevor Maddich from football, and BYU Sports Nation, Maddich Mondays.
What took so long?
Jack Morris from baseball, Mark Philbrick from BYU Photography, one of the longtime BYU photographers, and Roger Reed, former men's basketball coach. The inductees will also be honored at halftime of next Saturday's football game against TCU.
Stars of the BYU women's soccer team from Texas, Ellie Walbrook, after the big 4-0 win against Baylor. Ellie, congratulations on the win and the brace.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me. It's been really fun and nice weather in Texas, so can't beat it.
Okay, tell me the truth. Did you pack for the whole week? Were you expecting this?
100%. We packed for the whole week. Got like 8 practice outfits, some hoodies. I mean, yeah, we all packed for the whole week, so it's been a blast and just can't wait for our game on Saturday.
Take everybody through, Ellie, how this team has gotten to this point where you're going to be playing for the Big 12 championship against Kansas on Saturday.
I mean, it's kind of a funny story. We were fighting for an in on the Big 12 tournament game, and our last game against Utah, we controlled our destiny. We got that win, and then we just hope for some other losses and things to happen, and it happened. We got that 8 seed in the tournament, and just kind of, for us, we wanted to prove ourselves. I mean, we think we're a great team in the Big 12. Like, credit to the Big 12. We have such an amazing group, a lot of RPI, top 25. So just a great competition for us. And, yeah, came out on top against TCU, which they were a great team. And then once again on Baylor, they were a great team as well. So just kind of for us, we wanted to prove people wrong and make a statement. And we did in the 2 games we've played. So just really excited for this Kansas game. It's going to be a tough matchup, but we're ready, and we've been preparing for it.
What are the keys to beating Kansas, who beat you in Provo just a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I think just playing our style. I mean, against Kansas, I think we let off the gas for about 15 minutes, and we got 3 goals scored on us in those 15 minutes. So just staying locked in the whole 90 and capitalizing on our opportunities. We're going to get lots of shots and get into the assist zone, getting into the box. So just creating havoc and scoring those chances and keeping a 0 on the board is going to be huge for us, which we've done so in our last few games against top programs. So just really excited and proud of this group so far.
Well, Ellie, not only is this team on a heater right now, so are you. 11 goals in the last 9 matches. What is working so well? You're playing with so much confidence right now.
Yeah, I think I'm just playing free. That's the best. That when I play free, I play at my best. So these last couple of games just have been in the right spot, the right time. And I mean, my teammates have had so much belief in me. My coaches have had so much belief in me. So I think for me, just peaking at the right time has been huge. And I just hopefully continue to build off that in the right time. Big 12 tournament and postseason play. I mean, this is the perfect time you want to be peaking at. So as a team and for myself, it's been very fun and just, like I said, people have had so much belief in me. So that's what's kind of helped me, give me confidence, and just kept going.
And there's been belief in Chelsea Peterson. Peyton Collins goes down with the torn ACL, and it was pretty severe against Utah. Chelsea Peterson comes in, plays the rest of that game. She wins a shootout against TCU and then a shutout against Baylor. How has she done this?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Chelsea's unreal. I mean, she's a character for sure, but she has so much confidence. She's played with so much confidence. She's very experienced, started in 2 years at Utah. So she's played in big games, big moments, and just having her step up the way she has been so big and such a confidence booster for this whole team. So I'm just super proud of her because she deserves every moment that she gets. And yeah, she stepped up big for us and just super, super proud of her.
Well, best of luck against Kansas coming up Saturday night on ESPN+, 8 Eastern time. Go win a Big 12 title. We appreciate the time, Ellie.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Appreciate it.
You got it. Ellie Walbrook from Texas. BYU on a tear right now. We hope it continues. Keanu Tanuvasa and Waylon Lapu'ahu coming up after the break. Talk about the battle in the trenches in Lubbock this weekend. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
I don't know that there's skepticism about BYU. I wouldn't think that there is.
Maybe Texas Tech is different. That would be one of the best wins in the country.
It's built on a culture of toughness and togetherness and all the cliches.
It's looking like the possibilities are coming together for the Cougars.
Yes, they are in a massive matchup coming up in Lubbock on Saturday. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. I am Jerem Jordan. He is Jason Shepherd. BYU defensive lineman Keanu Tanivasa knows that Saturday's game at Texas Tech is not only a challenge but an opportunity for the Cougars to show the country just how good they are. Here's Spencer's conversation with BYU's defensive tackle after practice yesterday.
Keanu, what kind of opportunity do you sense here for BYU football building before this top 10 showdown in Lubbock against Texas Tech?
I think we just feel the passion and excitement of the game. And more than that, the blessing and the opportunity to represent something bigger than ourselves, the university itself, and especially, you know, our Heavenly Father and Savior. So we're focusing on our details and stuff, but man, we're excited.
Understandably, with everything that's going into this game, what are some of those details that you have been working on to try and get better on the defensive line against a very talented Texas Tech offense?
Yeah, I think a big part for us on the D-line is controlling that line of scrimmage. They're a really good offensive line, and so for us to get knocked back would mean the world, and it just frees up our linebackers. We got great backers, so as we focus on blowing back that line, then we can control the game.
What did 2 weeks, or what will 2 weeks of preparation, I should say, do for this BYU football team against Texas Tech?
I think it laser focuses us. It allows us to really understand the team that we're playing, the scheme that we're going in with, and really just allows us to be fresh in who we are. Not playing anybody else's game, but being our own BYU mindset.
What kind of disruption do you feel like Texas Tech's offense is going to try and bring against BYU's defense?
I think they do really well at throwing the ball, and so they got good receivers, a good quarterback back there. So I think they're going to try and hit the play-action pass a little bit, run the ball, and then try and open up those quick routes and stuff to get their quarterback comfortable. And so if we can focus on our fundamentals and shut down that run, then we'll be all right.
I know that you're not living under a rock, and you try and keep everything quiet, but it's hard when it's so prominent. And your own fan base is so excited about BYU being ranked number 7, and this is the first top 10 matchup ever in BYU football history. So how do you handle those nerves and the outside noise in those aspects?
I think we trust in Kalani's culture. Man, he's got the greatest culture that I've been around. And so the same excitement and energy that we took to Portland State game one, we just got to focus on that and double down on it now that it is a top 10 matchup. And so I think we're doing a great job of that, just sticking to who we know we are. The excitement can often take us out of our game, but if we're sticking to who we are with our culture and who Kalani helps us to become, we'll be just fine.
It feels like BYU plays well as the underdog. If so, is there an element to that for you and the guys in the locker room?
I think there's a little excitement. I think just as much as we're focused on ourselves, there's also the keys of proving ourselves. And more so to ourselves is that we'll prove that we don't need to be seen as the underdog, nor that we believe we are the underdog. And so we'll just play according to that. And at the end of the day, we'll love people as they want to believe what they can.
BYU has been able to figure it out, especially on the road in Big 12 games, trailed by double digits in all three road Big 12 eventual wins. I know Kalani has joked, we'd like to not trail by double digits and not keep it so close, but there is power in figuring it out. What do you think has been the secret ingredient to doing just that so that you're unbeaten?
I think we just have to trust one another. That unity and that discipline, we built that a long time ago in the summer workouts, in the winter workouts. That trust is what it is. Sometimes we find ourselves jumping out of scheme because we want to make a play. If I trust that Jack's going to be in his gap, then I can make a play in mine, and vice versa. Same with our backfield. It's just trusting in one another, and we'll be fine if we do that.
Let's give you all the karma we can muster up. Go take it. Represent BYU Sports Nation. Good luck in Lubbock.
Sir, love you guys. Thank you. Go Cougs.
Love you too, Keanu. You're awesome. Then there's offensive lineman Waylon Lapu'ahu, who has a big challenge against the top-rated defense in the country in Texas Tech, according to Pro Football Focus. I spoke with Waylon about the challenge after practice earlier this week. Waylon, massive game with Texas Tech. How you feeling, man?
Man, I feel great. Coming off the bye week, had the got time to rest our bodies, and we're feeling good.
Tanner Wall told me on Monday morning he felt like Captain America coming out of the pod. How would you describe how you felt waking up Monday morning?
Maybe like Hulk, just becoming Hulk for the first time. It felt really good. The bye week, came at a perfect time, especially for me. I had a couple injuries. Now feeling great today, and, yeah, feeling good.
You guys got into Texas Tech stuff last week. How much of an advantage is that to have a little extra time?
I think it's huge, just understanding, the little nuances with their defense, and just having a jump start on that definitely helps a lot. Especially up front, just knowing where we're going to ID. And then, I think the game plan, too, could be a little bit more complex just because we have another week to prepare for that. So, yeah, I think it helps a lot.
They've got a good defense, good team. What sticks out about what they do on that side of the ball?
Yeah, I think, it's kind of obvious. They fly to the ball. All 11 players play very hard. Their front seven is probably one of the better front sevens in the Big 12. They have really good edge rushers, and their D-line's solid, and it's gonna be a fun game. It's gonna be a battle for sure.
They get after the quarterback, and then Jacob Rodriguez really sticks out. This dude punches the ball out left and right. Obviously, ball security is a big thing, but what do you see in terms of what you guys can do to help the run game, which has been the strength of this team, against a good run defense?
I think not letting him get to the ball. When we get a chance to block him, we make sure we block him, and we don't let him get his free look at the ball and a free punch out. Just getting put bodies on bodies and let our running backs do the rest.
How excited are you for the challenge of a game that is going to weigh heavily into who gets to Arlington in a couple of weeks?
Man, it's fun. They always say whoever wins in November, it's big to win in November. So. Man, I just can't wait for the opportunity. It's going to be a blast down there, and I just can't wait to have some fun.
Vegas says BYU is a 10.5-point dog. How do you handle that information?
Honestly, we've been an underdog in a lot of games, so kind of just goes in one ear, oh, okay, and then goes out the other. So I don't really worry about that too much because I know, I can control what I can control, and that's to help my team win.
What's the special sauce of what BYU has discovered last year and this year? Because you've been a part of both of those teams, of BYU winning so many games and competing at a really high level right now.
Man, I think, to be honest, I just think our brotherhood. Our brotherhood is super tight. Every day we get closer. We do a lot of team activities. I'm always going to go eat with Bear, going to eat with the O-line, going to eat with the linebackers, just sharing time with each other, and then you really build that bond that you really want to play hard, and when it does get hard, it's easy for you to just lean on your brothers and just know we all got each other's backs.
They've outlawed the tortilla throwing, but have you thrown a tortilla before, and if so, how far?
I've thrown a tortilla at my brother, and probably 5 feet. So
just 5 feet?
Yeah, just 5 feet, just a quick bang.
If you were out here, do you feel like you could throw it a good 10, 20 yards?
Yeah, I think I could. I think I could make it to the hash. Yeah. If it's about a foot long tortilla, in circumference.
We're talking big time.
Yeah, like a frisbee. Right, right. Yeah, okay. Bigger it is, the longer it will go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I like the way you're thinking. Okay. Best of luck in Lubbock, and thanks for the time, Waylon.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Have you thrown a tortilla before?
I've not. I've thrown a tortilla down, by AKA eating it.
Nice.
If you want to watch the full conversations
you
with
Keanu. You might have Chipotle in an hour.
If you want to watch the full conversations with Keanu and Waylon or any other BYU Sports Nation interviews, go to BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel where you can watch them anytime on demand, including an interview. It's there right now with the host of ESPN's College Game Day, the one and only Reese Davis.
Larry, a portion of that coming up tomorrow on the program, but full convo on YouTube. After the break, a rise and shout out to the new Hall of Fame class at BYU, which is loaded. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
1 to 10, how confident are you that BYU can pull off the upset in Lubbock over Texas Tech? Our lead voice of the day is presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory. Brandon Hatch, 14. 10, let's go, Cougs!
I like it.
It's got a gif of the dog wearing the blue goggles. 10, let's go, man. Let's go, I love it. Yeah, come on! Today's Rise Shoutout, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletic.
We're going to give it to all the inductees going into the BYU Athletic Hall of Fame.
Shout out to Trevor, Tyler, Alexa, called her guys. All this. I feel old. all these people we know going in. But thanks to today's guests, Hans Olsen, Ellie Walbert, Kamlu Tanavasa, Wayne Lapu'ahu. Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time.
All of our shows on demand, BYUSN.com.
For Jason, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Erica Owens. Go Cougs.
And shout out to Kyle Purvis. Kyle, you are the man.
Kyle is the man.